7 and verses 19. Acts 11 and verse 19. Now they, which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. But some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which is in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, that much and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. But when he had found him, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And that's all I'm going to read tonight. I want to go into the verse there, of course, in verse 26, and try to preach just a few minutes tonight upon the thought, the new name of the church members, the new name for the church members. They had a name, of course, and we've all got a name. We know what we are tonight, and I believe that what we are will give us a name. What we believe will give us a name. We're named, and of course, we know what we believe. And according to the scriptures, I'm glad we've got something that we can believe that will show the folks around us what we are. And I appreciate the new name the church received here. Now, this, of course, is the time when the new church was beginning to grow and to go forward. There had been much preaching taking place here in the first chapters of the book of Acts. There was thousands that were being saved, and that was a glorious day. That'd been a good day to have been around, wouldn't it? Just to be somewhere around where revival was taking place, and there on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were saved, and then thousands more later on. I'm telling you, God was moving. And there was something different about the people that was in the land that was following the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd been around for over 33 years, and he'd been crucified. He'd been declared that he was dead. He was put in the grave. But I'm glad, thank God, that he arose and got out of the grave. And they'd seen him, above 500 brethren, saw him at once. So God was beginning to work with the exactly what Jesus had spoken to them about when he told Peter. He said, now Peter, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So it was beginning to happen just exactly like the Lord said that he would do. And I want to say tonight that he's been doing it ever since. The church is still alive and well today. Now, the descendants of that early church has come right on down through the descendants and just come right on down, and the church is alive and well today. You see, how do you know? Because I'm a part of it. And I'm alive and well, amen, and you are too, tonight. So there's the church was beginning to move, and God was beginning to happen. Now, some things beginning to happen by the grace of God. And there was a reason they received that name. There was a name, of course, that they'd received, and there's some things that had begun to happen. Everything wasn't exactly what we would say enjoyable that was taking place. Stephen had been stoned to death. And he went to heaven, and they were left with a testimony, with a smile on his face, and seeing Jesus up there, and he was one of the martyrs of the early church. So that was a sad time in that church at that time. But thank God there were some things taking place. And of course, they knew where he was going. He knew where he was going. And of course, it motivated them to keep on serving the Lord. Because in the crowd around Stephen that was stoned to death, there was, of course, Saul of Tarsus that was approving his death and holding the coats of those that was stoning him to death. But he got in the right place at the right time, because the Holy Ghost began to get a hold of him, and pretty soon this man was going to get saved by the grace of God. And so things was beginning to happen. The church was beginning to blossom and to bloom in those early days, and folks were being saved by the grace of God. But then, of course, upon the persecution of Stephen, they were scattered abroad. They began to go into other places and other towns and other places around there. And of course, when they'd get there, they would get them a place to live, and they would get them a job, and they begin to mix and to mingle with the people in that community. And some things begin to happen, because they noticed there was something different about those that moved there upon that persecution. And so there was something different about them. There were some things. How did they get that new name? I mean, there was a reason that they got that new name. How did they get it? Well, I think, first of all, there in verse 19, by their response to persecution. And their response to persecution. And now Jesus, of course, while he was here, had been persecuted. We know that because we read that. He'd been persecuted. I mean, they hated him, and they were crucifying him, and they rejected what he was saying about himself and about the Lord. And so he was persecuted. And so these people, of course, were also persecuted. And that their response to that persecution identified them as being like Jesus Christ. We respond to persecution the right way, we will have a name of a Christian, responding just like Jesus did. He responded in a good way. He loved his enemies. Amen. He prayed for those that despitefully used him. Sure, he took a stand. Sure, he had a backbone like a saw log. Sure, he defended his father upon this earth. But I'm telling you, brother, had this man a response to that persecution. And when these folks begin to respond in the same way, they identify that, well, they're doing just like that one that was called Christ, that Peter talked about, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, and then in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, John heard in prison the works of Christ. They were talking in prison about what Jesus was doing on the outside of prison. And they talked about the works of Christ. And so the response to persecution identified them as being like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way it ought to be. That's the reason that church has survived all these years, because of our response to the persecution that arose against us and our forefathers. And they, of course, responded like Jesus did. And he prayed for them. And he didn't respond by killing them. Peter wanted to do that, you know, with his sword when they were coming after him, and took a swipe at a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Well, what did Jesus do? He just reached down, put it back on, and he put his ear back on. Instant healing. Amen. And so the response, their response to persecution identified them as being just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that today. And so how did that die? That's how they got their name, as being a Christian, Christ-like, in their response to persecution that arose again. How do we want to do it? The flesh wants to do it like we do a lot of times. When we're persecuted, we'll get even with them. Amen? But oh, that's not the Christian way. That's not the way the Lord responded to persecution. Thank God he responded in a manner that identified a God. He loved them. Now, why did Jesus respond in that way? Why did he do that? Well, I tell you the reason he done that, because he was just like his father. Amen. He was just like his father. Now, his father had loved every man in this world, every woman in this world, every child in this world. And for God so loved the world
world has so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved every drug addict. He loved every alcoholic. He loved every prostitute. He loved every heathen that was in this world. He loves them today just the same as he did in that day. And that's the reason they responded like Jesus did and identified them as being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for that. I'm glad they did that because that's how the church is living today, because that we're still alive and well today. Didn't they? And the reason they got that name, of course, secondly, was because of the preaching. Because of the preaching. Amen. The Bible said then, the second part of verses 19, he said, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to the Jews only. They were preaching the word. Amen. And that's how they got the name. They were preaching just like Jesus preached. Now Jesus taught and Jesus preached. Amen. He done both of those. There is a difference. And Jesus preached the word unto them. And so they preached the word and unto those that they were around, their neighbors, their friends, their family. They preached to them, and so the reason they received the name of a Christian, because they were preaching like Christ preached. Amen. Amen. He preached uncompromisingly. Amen. He preached the word of God to them. He took the scripture. You know, Jesus was a Bible believer. He didn't change the scripture. We don't find anywhere in the Bible that he corrected the word of God. He didn't correct the word of God. He preached the word of God. He read the word of God. And he didn't change the scripture, but he preached it. And so they was preaching like Jesus was preaching. Amen. Thank God for our forefathers. Amen. Because of their preaching, that we're preaching the word. Then thirdly, because of the hand of the Lord was with them. Look what he said there in verses 21. The last part of that verse, the first part of that verse rather, in verses 21, the Bible said, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, the reason they got that name is because the Lord was with them. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, brother, we've got to have the Lord with us. Amen. We've got to have the Lord with us. Whether we preach, and whether we teach, and whether we sing, and when we worship, we've got to have the presence of God with us. Amen. He's got to put his approval upon what we're doing. Amen. And the word of God that we're preaching and the songs that we're singing, I'm telling you, he's got to put his approval. The hand of the Lord was with them. Amen. Yes. Brother, you know when he's not with you. Amen. You know when he's not with you. Amen. Thank God. And so the hand of the Lord was with them. That may be a very insignificant part of that verse, but that is the most important part of that verse to identify them as a Christian, because the folks saw that God was with them. Amen. God had put his approval upon their lives. They were pleasing the Lord and not pleasing men. Amen. Praise God for that. So because the hand of the Lord was with them. And then don't you notice, fourthly, they had that new name of a Christian because of the results of what they were doing. The Bible said two things there. That made a Christian. First of all, they believed and they turned unto the Lord. Amen. They believe. You know what real belief and faith will do? It'll turn you to the Lord. Amen. And turn them. And they turned. Their ways were turned. Their habits were changed. And the desires were different. And they wanted to serve the Lord. And the folks around them could see what was taking place. Amen. Now it does make a difference when an old drunkard gets sober. Amen. And folks begin to see that. I mean, when an old drug addict does away with his drugs and turns away from that crowd, and plenty of brother, they turned, they believed, and then they turned. Amen. It's all in. That's all packaged together, believing and turning. When you believe, the Bible said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I'm telling you, brother, they believed and they turned unto the Lord. I remember the day that I turned to him. Do you remember that day? Oh, the day we turned to the Lord. What a glorious day it was. And brother, folks began to see the difference in the lives of those that turned unto the Lord. And I'm telling you, brother, they moved in that community, and there was there among the unbelievers, there was Jews, and there was all kind of people there, ungodly folks. But I'm telling you, as a neighbor and as a friend and somebody beside them, they began to see the difference in the lives of those that got saved, because they believed and they turned to the Lord, and they called them. They're living just like Christ lived. Amen. Isn't that good? They're living just like Christ lived. Boy, we're far from that today. Amen. We're far from that today. Living just like Christ lived. And I'm telling you, and that's the reason they called them Christians, because they believed and they turned. I wouldn't give you 15 cents for religion that don't change a life. And that salvation will change a heart and will change a life and give you new desires and give you a new place to go and new friends. God, yeah, and we're afraid. And you know when folks are lost, they're afraid. If I get saved, I'll lose all my friends. Well, you'll lose some of them, and you'll win some of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you, when they begin to see what takes place in the heart, and that's the reason they said, well, those are Christians. They're living just like Christ lived. And that they just kept on doing it day after day, and Sunday after Sunday. And brother, day after day, they worship God. They preach the Bible. They live for Christ. And they shun sin and stayed away from sin and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a real joy to serve the Lord. Amen. It's a real joy to serve the Lord. Yes, sir. Folks feel sorry for you, you know. Well, they're Christians here. Having a little dull life. They ain't never been in a good Holy Ghost service. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't even understand what takes place. They'll make fun, they'll ridicule, and everything else. But what they can't see, what's on the inside, that's worshiping God, and brother, enjoying the Lord, and then serving Him, and telling other folks about Him, and the joy of seeing an old sinner get saved. They begin to see their families get saved also. Amen. Their friends, their neighbors began to get saved. And so they called them a Christian. Their folks are living just like Christ lived. That's what Peter was talking about. So because of the results, you see. And of course, getting down to the next thing that I want to bring out is just sort of blends in with what I'm already just telling you. They received that name because the grace of God was visible. They saw the grace of God. How do you see the grace of God? Through changed lives. That's how you see the grace of God. They pass up the bottle. They pass up the beer can. They pass up the liquor. They pass up the dope. They pass it up. I'm telling you, they saw the grace of God. It was with those that moved there. There's something different about their lives. Praise God. They saw the grace of God. Amen. You can't identify it, but you can see the results of grace. Amen. Grace, Salem. The grace of God was visible. He exhorted them all. Read verse 22 and 23. He said, the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which is at Jerusalem. They sent unto Barnabas. That he said, go as far as Antioch, and who, when he came, had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. It's so easy for folks to get away from God. It's hard to get away from Him if you cleave to Him. They cleave unto the Lord. They wanted Him. They desired Him. And so they was they were cleaving, and got that name because of that. And so he exhorted them all. When he saw the grace of God, what did it do? He exhorted them. He encouraged them. He preached to them. And he encouraged their life and to go out and get some more folks. And that's the reason we're sitting here tonight. Because of the grace of God was manifest in the lives of those that are saved. Somebody showed you the gospel. Somebody showed you a changed life. I could identify many folks in my... And my first one was a Sunday school teacher. Of course, I had a Christian home with my Sunday school teacher. Every Sunday, Brother Floyd Phillips would stand up in front of us teenage boys, teach the Bible, tears running down his face. Boys, you be careful where you go. You be careful who you run with. And that just pled with us and read us the scripture and taught us the word of God. I'm telling you that you can see the grace of God in his life. That's the reason Sunday school is a good thing. It's a good thing. Amen. Sunday school is a good thing for everybody. And so there's the grace of God was visible. You could see the grace of God. Amen. Then they were called Christians because of Barnabas and his life and his preaching. Verse 24, I like this verse. Talking about Barnabas. They sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that were purpose of heart, they would cleave in the Lord, for he was a good man. You can't do any better than that. If you can call somebody a good man, it's because he's met somebody greater than he is. And it's put inside him something bigger than he is. That makes us what we are. He was a good man. You and I know good men, amen. And they're saved men. They're Christian men. And they're called of God from sin to salvation makes you a good man. When you go to church and you cultivate that, you sit under teaching and preaching of the Word of God, that I'm telling you, it cultivates within you something that makes you a good person. He was a good person. He was a good man. The Bible said, and you know what he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verses 1? A good name is better than precious ointment. A good name is better than precious ointment. He said in Proverbs 22 and 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. The choice is out there. What about the millions that you could make in this world and then a good name over here? Which would be more desirable to the world today? The riches. But to the Christian, a good name is better to be chosen than great riches. You can have you millions and billions. I have no desire to have that much money. If I had that much money, it would mess me up. Amen? You follow those that wins all these big money and goes and gambles and everything like that. It's another message in itself. But you follow them, but their lives are miserable. Amen. Anyway, he was a good man. There's four things about this man that I want you to notice right quickly. And because of his life and because of his preaching, the Bible said that he preached to them. And much people was added to the Lord. But he was a good man, first of all. And then he was full of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God was upon him. Because the hand of the Lord was upon him, the Spirit of God was upon him in his preaching the Word of God. Amen. How necessary that is. There is no gospel preaching without the Holy Ghost. Only God can implant in the heart of a sinner the truth of the Bible through Holy Ghost preaching. God chose through the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Had a man tell me one time, supposed to have been a preacher. He was supposed to have been a Baptist. He was one of them hard shell Baptists. He said, there'll be people in heaven that's never heard the gospel. I said, but one thing wrong with that, it's wrong. It's not Bible. You don't have any scripture for that. There's not going to be people in heaven that's never heard the gospel. Amen. The gospel. I mean, God implants and he carries the word of God and does it through preaching of the Bible. And of course, I didn't help him any. I knew it wasn't to start with. But he was full of the Holy Ghost. Nothing wrong with that. That's not Pentecostal. That's Bible. We're to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because we do have the Spirit of God within us. And we've got the Spirit of God. But sometimes we need a little bit of filling. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. The difference in being half full and full. Amen. We're to be filled with the Spirit of God. And then the third thing about this man, about Barnabas, he was full of faith. He was full of faith. You know what he did? He believed what he was preaching. He believed God. And I'm telling you, listen, if I didn't believe God, I'd never preach another message. But I believe that somebody will hear the word of God and get saved by the grace of God. Keep on witnessing. Keep on preaching. Keep on telling the good news. Amen. He was full of faith. We've got to believe what we're preaching will reach a sinner. Right. If there's a sinner sitting out there and the word of God's being preached, God will use that preaching to get that sinner saved. Yes. He can come to Jesus and find peace. And find rest in being saved by the grace of God. He was full of God. He was a good man. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of faith. And then notice what happened because of that. Much people was added unto the Lord. It didn't say anything about the church role, but they were added to the Lord. Amen. That's the first one you get to be a member of, is the church. Of the living God. And then I believe in being a member of a church. Because Jesus wrote letters to the churches. Didn't he? Revelation. He picked out those churches in Asia. And wrote letters to them. And many instances in the word of God. Even the apostle. They called the name of those that was in those churches. Amen. Called their name. That belong to that. I believe in a local assembly. I know the invisible church. I understand the body of Christ. It makes up every person that's born again. But God instituted local assemblies that we could gather together, send out missionaries, worship God together, just enjoy the liberty of preaching the word of God and teaching the scriptures and singing the songs and, brother, letting the world know that Jesus is alive and well today. He's not dead. He's not on vacation. He's still alive and well today. In 2025, he's still around. And the church is still around today. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be a part of it. Much people was added to the Lord. Amen. Then I'm going to say lastly here. It was called Christians. This is combined with what I've already said. But in verses 25 and 26, the Bible said, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. What about that? With the church. There was a church at Antioch. With the church and taught much people. They were teaching the word of God. They were teaching children. And they were teaching adults. They were teaching much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. They got that name well because they'd heard the gospel and they was portraying the grace of God to those around them. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad I heard the gospel one day. Oh, them old men of God. I could see them in my mind's eye right now, mounted that pulpit. They didn't even know anything about millennial reign or anything like that. But they knew the gospel. They preached to me the word of God, pulled me out over hell. And I'm telling you, I got scared to go to sleep. I'm telling you, that night when God had convicted my heart of my sins, I found out that faith was real and they've been preaching the truth. And my burden was gone because of the preaching of the word of God. I believed and I turned. I said this many times. I didn't even want to get in the neighbor's watermelon patch anymore. Amen. Yeah. It'll change you. It'll change you. So they were called Christians first at Antioch. For a reason. For a reason. Father, finish the message tonight. What if there's one here that needs to come? I pray you'd bring conviction where it's needed. There's a burden that needs to be lifted. If there's, Lord, something needs to be prayed for, I pray you'd move in the invitation.